Today's edition of the Derek Hunter Podcast is brought to you by Life Change Tea.
Why go to getthetea.com? Because this important news could change your life. Socrates made a statement saying that all disease starts in the gut. Take care of your gut, and well, the rest speaks for itself. Life Change Tea is a wonderful way to aid in your digestion. Brew it, steep it, drink it, and feel it go to work. We at Life Change Tea have been around for years helping people just like you feel better. Lots of testimonials and lots of happy people. Log on to getthetea.com. That's getthetea.com. Getthetea.com.
Alrighty, hello again, everyone, and welcome to it. It is the Derek Hunter Podcast for the 24th of November, 2021, the day before Thanksgiving, the day that you, probably the only time anybody, everybody across the country gets the chance to watch the Detroit Lions lose at football. I mean, everybody gets the chance, if you have like the NFL plan or whatever, you can watch them. That's just a Sunday or a Monday or a Thursday or sometimes a Saturday. But, this time, the whole country gets to do it, whether they like it or not. The NFL goes, oh, we got games galore. Three games on Thanksgiving. America, love this. And the first one goes, well, don't really count the first one. The first one's kind of like a high school game gone bad. Sorry about the first game. That's why they put it first, because they're sorry about the first game. Anyway, enjoy it. You never know. Every once in a while, somebody in the Lions does a decent job, and they come close to not losing. So that's all you can really hope for in the first game. I hope that your Thanksgiving is good. There'll be a best of here on Thursday and Friday. I hope you're going out Black Friday shopping and all that good stuff and getting great bargains. And then, of course, the Curse Program on Saturday at patreon.com/Derek Hunter Podcast. The Weekend Effing Review will be up and ready to go, because the Lord knows that the news needs to be talked about the way the news deserves to be talked about. This is going to be a very brief program today. I'm exceedingly tired. The kids ran me ragged today. And frankly, this is one of those weeks where you're like, so glad you took this week off, because there isn't a whole lot going on. There's a lot of things happening that'll be going on next week, but nothing will be resolved this week, to be perfectly honest with you. So the terrorist guy, can you call him a terrorist? Probably not. Technically, yeah, I think he's just a monster that ran over those people up in Wisconsin is the prime example of everything that's wrong with liberalism. They talk about how we have a prison overcrowding problem. We have a mass incarceration problem. No, we don't have enough people in prison. You know who we should have in prison? Every single criminal. Period. End of story. You put every single criminal in prison, and then you get one more person, somebody innocent in there. And then I'll say, all right, we've got too many people in prison. We'll let the innocent person out. But unless and until this guy is out on bail and committing more crimes, and then out on bail again for that while he's out on bail, and then committing more crimes and now murdering people, for what reason, we don't know. I just say, set up the wood chipper, put him on a conveyor belt. Give him 5 minutes to figure out whether or not he wants to tell us why he did what he did. And if he doesn't, he doesn't. He'll take it to hell with him. But if he does, we'll know it, and maybe we can stop the belt for a minute if it takes more than 5 minutes for him to explain it. And when it's all over, we dump him into the wood chipper and fertilize some soil with him. That's all. That is what's wrong with these people. That is what's wrong with liberalism. They look at the guilty and feel badly for them. They look at the innocent. They look at the victims, and they don't feel anything. They don't feel anything. What's messed up is in major cities across the country where they control all the political power, the victims and the perps are more than likely voters for them. More importantly, actually, the victims are the ones most likely to vote, whereas criminals tend not to go, ooh, I must go do my civic duty. So they're literally choosing the perps over the victims, and they're choosing their non-voters over their voters, their potential voters over their actual voters. In many ways, it's the fault of the actual voters. I mean, if you've got this going on and this sort of abuse happening and you still partake in it and you still give these people your votes, your abusers your votes, it's hard to feel bad for you. It's really hard to feel bad for you. I don't actually feel bad for them at all. It's when they inflict themselves on others that I have a problem. But they can be as miserable as humanly possible. Who cares? Speaking of miserable people, the President of the United States has decided to tap the Strategic Petroleum Reserve. After looking at just weeks and weeks of declining polls, he decided to try to do something. His handlers decided he should try to do something. And he's literally doing the least he could do. You know, it's like, well, it's the least he could do. No, it literally is the least he could do. 50 million barrels of oil next to nothing. 3 days, less than 3 days worth of oil. Now, will this impact gasoline prices, which is what they want? No, but they don't really expect it to impact gasoline prices. They want to be seen as doing something. Joe Biden is jetting off to spend the weekend, a long Thanksgiving weekend, at a billionaire's compound up in Nantucket, because that's how he rolls, ladies and gentlemen. That middle class Joe sure ingratiated himself to billionaires throughout his entire career, honey. Well, he's going up there and he can't be seen trolling around with billionaires while people are suffering, while people can't afford to go over to grandma's house for Thanksgiving. So he had to do something. The Strategic Petroleum Reserve won't have an immediate impact being tapped, because it just won't. It takes some time to get that stuff rolling around. But ultimately, it'll have minimal effect, maybe pennies per gallon, which will likely be eaten up by inflation by the time it's actually felt in the marketplace. So you likely won't notice that it happened at all, period. End of story. The most important story, though, for White House flax and the leftist media is that Joe is seen as taking decisive action. It's indecisive action. It's, again, the worst he could, or the least he could possibly do, but he's doing it. He's doing something. And so they can say Joe to the rescue. What's really sad is these people that Joe Biden put in his cabinet. That's the abject lesson of this mess. His energy secretary is someone called Jennifer Granholm, the former governor of the state of Michigan. She has been a liberal media darling for a long time. 20 years ago when she was governor, she was moderately attractive. And that is enough for a Democrat. She's born in Canada, so she could never be president. I remember Chris Matthews lamenting the fact that she could never be president because she was born Canadian. I thought, my God, you're just, why don't you just hump her leg, you drunken weirdo? Anyway, she is the energy secretary, and she brings to that position exactly nothing. No qualifications whatsoever. None. She's a professor out at Stanford, I believe it is, or UCLA, somewhere out in California. After her stint as governor of Michigan, she was so bad and the economy was so terrible, she had to go 3,000 miles to get a job. And most people, you know, stay in the state that they govern. They're a presence, and they're not Granholm. She got the hell out of there. She knew that she sucked. She's aware. You can't be that bad at the job and not be aware of it. So she left. She went 3,000 miles across the country. Now she's back. She had done nothing in the interim to make herself an expert on energy policy. She was not, Michigan is not known as an energy state. Transportation secretary might have made some sense, but Joe chose the eminently unqualified Pete Buttigieg for that one. You really have to sit there and wonder, were they just doing random parties, like a 1970s key party or wife swapping thing where they just picked people at random? Everybody's in there. Everybody put your name in the fishbowl. Everybody's semi-qualified for a cabinet position, but we're not going to pick you based on that. We are going to pick you randomly and assign you It's like so stupid. There really is. My dad said to me yesterday, is there anybody in his cabinet that's qualified for anything? And the closest I could come up with was the Attorney General. The Attorney General, Merrick Garland, I think is wildly incompetent, but he's at least an attorney. So in that sense, as Attorney General, he's qualified to be the Attorney General. I don't think he's a good Attorney General. I think he's quite a bad Attorney General. But otherwise, you got Health and Human Services, Javier Becerra, is a lawyer out of California, former member of Congress, had no background in health policy or health care whatsoever. None. Didn't chair any relevant committees, didn't do anything in Congress relative to health care. But he's in charge of the nation's health care. Why? Well, because his name is Javier Becerra. He comes from California and he's a Hispanic guy. Boxes checked, ladies and gentlemen. Pete Buttigieg has no qualification. I don't even know what Pete would qualify for as mayor of South Bend, Indiana. What? Like, he can be the cabinet secretary for mediocre football teams? That's all Notre Dame has. But he's been a bang-up, just done a wonderful job as Secretary of Transportation, hasn't he? It's just wonderful. And then Granholm at Energy. You name anybody in these positions. The one guy in education sort of has a background in education. But other than that, nobody has any qualifications for these jobs. And you sit there and you wonder why things are going to hell. And it's all because, this one's a trans, this one's a lesbian, this one's a that, this one's another thing. And this is what happens when you hire based on the liberal food pyramid of victimhood. That's what you get. So I have this audio of Jennifer Granholm embarrassing herself in front of the White House press corps. Well, she can't really embarrass. She has no idea, as the Secretary of Energy, how much gasoline, how much oil this country consumes in the course of a day. Now, you would think if you were coming to the White House for a press conference announcing the tapping of the strategic petroleum reserves in the desperate hope that you can be seen as doing something and maybe that something will trickle down to having the price of gasoline dip a little bit, you'd think you'd familiarize yourself. Say if you're saying, how many barrels are we releasing? 50 million. Oh, okay. Is that a lot or is that a little? That would be the normal question I would have as a non-energy sector person. Like, is that a lot or is that a little or what is it? She didn't have that question. Nobody seemed to have that question in their brainstorming session because she's asked, how much does the American public use in the course of a day? She has no frickin' clue. And then the reporter has to point it out, which is, I'd be embarrassed for her if she weren't a horrible person. Here it is.
There are various figures about this, so I'm curious if you know, how many barrels of oil does the U.S. consume per day?
I don't have that number in front of me. Sorry.
So some suggest it's about 18 million, which would suggest you're releasing less than 3 days' worth of supply from the petroleum reserve.
How do these people get jobs? How do these people get jobs? Oh, wait, we need a chick. Let's put a chick in there. Jennifer Granholm, she has ingratiated, and that's really what she's done, is she has spent her, probably 10, 12 years, I think it's 11 years, since she left the governor's mansion in Michigan. She has spent that time ingratiating herself to the Democratic Party establishment. She has spent that time on cable news and on the Sunday shows ingratiating herself to the Democratic Party establishment. There is literally nothing she won't apologize for. She won't be the face of out there on cable news. It's embarrassing. You're embarrassed for her. But she's out there. She's a trooper, I suppose. You reward that person with a lobbying job. You reward that person with a no-show job and an honorary title. You don't reward that person with a cabinet position that is relevant to the entire country being able to run smoothly and people being able to go about their business and being able to afford to go about their business. You don't give that token person who you should pat on the head and give a lollipop. You don't give them power. You don't give them authority. You don't reward them in that way. I know why she wanted it. Everybody wants to be a cabinet secretary. You're set for life. You're getting, honorary degrees thrown at you all the time. Your speaking fees go up exponentially. Once you get past the confirmation process, you're pretty much on easy street for the rest of your life. Some think tank's going to snatch you up and make you a visiting honorary fellow and write you big checks so they can use your name on fundraising letters, and that's it. You're done. The problem is, while you're the cabinet secretary, you're supposed to be able to do your damn job. And Joe Biden doesn't seem to have picked anybody who can do their damn jobs. Not even him, though. I mean, I guess the fish rots from the head down. So what do you expect? My God, it's probably not the way you wanted to go into Thanksgiving. But this is the way we go into Thanksgiving. Still, we are thankful in any event. And I hope you have a wonderful Thanksgiving. Your trip to Fancoma is not too deep. I would suggest sleeping from noon until 3:30 or whatever when you just finally watch the Lions lose at the very end. Then you can get to football games that are moderately competitive, if that's your thing, or watch movies on Netflix, things like that. There's a lot of stuff out there right now, so you don't have to watch that horrible football crap in any event. Whatever you decide to do, have a wonderful Wednesday. Be careful driving to wherever you're going or flying. If you're probably not responsible for the flying, but have safe travels. We'll be back with, the Curse Show at patreon.com/DerekHunterPodcast on Saturday. Back to regular order on Monday. Best of the next 2 days. I wouldn't blame you. I don't even know what I'm going to run at them. So we shall see. I'll be just as surprised as everybody else. Don't forget to go to patreon.com/DerekHunterPodcast to enter to win the signed copy of my book. Sorry, we couldn't do better this week, but we'll do better next week. And all those good things. Happy Thanksgiving. Thank you. And I'll technically talk to you tomorrow because I'll reintro the show tomorrow and all of that on Friday. But that's about it. So barring something massive, they'll just be me for about 30 seconds and an old show the next 2 days. See you Saturday with the Curse program or Monday with regular order. Bye-bye.